Good morning, church.
Morning.
Happy Sabbath to you. Happy Sabbath to all that are in our listening audience today. If you've tuned in to our radio station or listening on the internet, we welcome you here today. And we're looking today at Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. And as I begin this message from God's word today, I would invite you to join me in prayer, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us. Today, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us in our study of your word. And I pray for a blessing for each one of us as we hear your word spoken to us personally. In Jesus' name, amen. Looking here in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, it says, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." As I look at this, Luke chapter 11, verse 3, Luke states it this way: "Give us day by day our daily bread." And it's been mentioned to me by someone who is very close to me that all these sermons sound alike that I've been preaching on the prayer. And there's a reason for that, because they're all closely connected. In this Lord's Prayer, we see there in this Lord's Prayer that there are three petitions that talk about God's glory. Also, there are three petitions here in this Lord's Prayer that speak about man's spiritual need. And this fourth petition that we're looking at here today is talking about our bodily needs. And I believe that God has something special that he wants us to know about in these prayers that comes out to us that maybe we hadn't thought about before. And this prayer is significant for us in that we're praying and giving honor to God for all of the blessings that God gives us. Today, earlier today, for those of you that weren't here present, there was a time for people to come forward and give praise and honor and glory to God for all the blessings that he had given them. And today I want to give thanks to God too for all of the prayers that he has answered for me and my family, all the blessings that he has given us. Everything that we have, I acknowledge that God gave it to us. Everything, even the breath that we breathe, is something that God gives us as a blessing from him. We need to express, I think, as this prayer does here today, that we need to express our complete and total dependence upon the God of heaven who gives us everything that we have in our life. You know, oftentimes we think that we're kind of self-made people. We're the ones that established our life. We're the ones that made success in our business or whatever. And we think that all the things that we have are because of the result of our own effort. And in Philippians 4:19, it says, "My God shall supply all of your needs." And I believe that God does that for us. Now, it's true that he doesn't often give us $1 million in our bank account just because that's what we want. He doesn't always give us as riches or fame or fortune that we would like to have in our life. But I believe that God supplies every need that you and I have. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God gives us what we need, not always what our heart yearns for, but what we need. And I believe that God is good and gracious to us all the time. And in Psalms 104, verse 27, David writes this. He says, "These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season." And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, it says this: "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." That's talking about everything they're worried about, all of their food, their raiment, you know, all their housing and everything that they need and want. And it says that the Gentiles are seeking for that. But your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. Listen, if you have a need, God knows about it. He's not some itinerant landlord that's way up in heaven and has no connection with us down here on earth and doesn't really realize the needs and difficulties that we face. He understands what we need, and before we even ask him, he's already aware of what we have and what we need. And so the Lord is able to attend to our needs. People who offer this prayer in the Lord's Prayer are putting their confidence in the paternal care of our Father in heaven. Yeah, we realize that there are some things that are beyond us, right? There are some things that we can't achieve for ourselves. There are some things without the help and power of God in answering prayers for us, it will never, ever happen in our life. And we need to be able to give God the praise and honor and glory. In Psalm 23, verse 1, you've heard this many times in sermons. It's being used for funerals. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, that's a little contrary to what a lot of people feel today, because there's a lot of wants, right? Far beyond our need, I want this, I want that. And you know, this hunger for more is something that drives our society everywhere in the world, people. I mean, just look at the storage areas that are being built through every community, people adding all of their stuff, pushing it into a storage area because they got no more space in their house. And they have a need fulfilled, but they want and they want, and there's this hunger for more. Never being satisfied, never being happy with what God has given us. In Psalms 37 and verse 25, David writes this. He says, "I've been young and now I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread." How many of you were out begging for bread this morning? Okay, I don't see any hands raised. And that's because God took care of your needs today. Isn't that true? Amen. He provided everything that we need. In fact, he's given us the power to be alive today and to be in good enough health to be able to come here to church and worship him and glorify his name for all the blessings that he has given to each one of us. It indicates in this prayer, I think, that this is a family prayer. And we offer our prayers to God at our family altar. And I hope that you have a family altar. And it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's time for us to give thanks to God when we eat our food, when we get up in the morning, when we go to bed at night. We need to give thanks and praise to God. We need to have a time for family worship to be able to think about what God has done for us and to give praise and honor and glory to him. This prayer is evidence, I think, of the importance of family worship. Because as we gather together, we're able to give prayer and thanksgiving to God for everything that he has done for us. It's a time for us to call our family to worship, to give God the praise and honor and glory. And there are many people in our land, in our churches today, that do not give God all the credit that he deserves. The giver of all the good gifts that you and I enjoy, recognizing that what we have all comes down to us from God in heaven. This ingratitude is one of the sins that made Sodom and Gomorrah disappear. Their ingratitude to God for all of the blessings that he had given them led them astray to do all kinds of vile, evil deeds in their life. And because of that, it led them down a path to total annihilation. With you, if you have your Bible today, turn with me in Isaiah. We're going to look at the prophet Isaiah, what he has to say in Isaiah chapter 38. In Isaiah chapter 38, we see this story of King Hezekiah who is sick. And it says there, beginning in verse number 1 in Isaiah 38, it says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Now that must have been a terrible shock to Hezekiah. He's just a little sick, and all of a sudden, here comes the prophet and say, "You better get your house in order because you're not going to live too much longer." And how many of us know that we're going to live way off into the future? I would encourage you with the same thought that Isaiah said to Hezekiah. Get your house in order. Get right with God. Confess your sins to him. Forsake those things. Repent of it. And ask Jesus to come into your life and forgive you and cleanse you with his blood. Get your house in order. Because you never know when a heart attack will happen. You never know when an accident will take your life. You never know what's going to befall any one of us. We need to be ready at any time to meet Jesus face to face. Isn't that true? We need to be ready. Get your house in order. And then Hezekiah, he turned his face toward the wall and he prayed unto the Lord and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Mercy, that must have been pretty disturbing for Hezekiah. to be able to have that kind of a message preached to him when he thought he was just a little bit sick, and all of a sudden now he's got this death sentence hanging over his head. And so Hezekiah is praying to the Lord, and it says in verse 5, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears, and behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Praise God for that. He got an extension. "And I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, which was Sennacherib, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. And behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. And so the sun turned backward 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down." Now, God probably could have said, "Well, I'll take the sun forward 10 degrees. And Hezekiah said, "No, anybody could see that. That, you know, the sun going down, the shadows and all that. Take it backwards 10 degrees, and then everybody will see that." Well, you know, in fact, there were people that were noticing that. There were astrologers in Babylon who were paying attention to the stars, the celestial following of those stars. They were looking at that. They were paying attention to what was going on in the sky, because that helped to regulate the seasons that they felt down on earth. And so they were concerned about what they had seen. The shadow went back 10 degrees. And so they had heard through messengers that Hezekiah had been sick, and that God had extended his life, and that he was saving them from the attack of Sennacherib, the Assyrians, and that God had caused the sun to go back 10 degrees. That sparked some interest in their heart. They wanted to go see Hezekiah to see what was going on with him and how God had blessed him. They had worshiped all kinds of false gods, Marmaduke and all kinds of other things in Babylon. They had a god for everything in that country. What they wanted to see was a god that could actually work miracles. And so they came to Hezekiah. And you look in Isaiah chapter 39, you look there in beginning of verse 1. It says, "At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasure. There was nothing in his house nor in his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. And then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these then? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. And then said he, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, said the Lord, and of thy sons they shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, and shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He has said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. And Hezekiah, believe me, this prophecy came true. We read in Daniel chapter 1 where Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem and took all of the people and all their treasures back to Babylon. It was actually fulfilled as God said it was going to be, and it actually happened. But you know, Hezekiah missed a great opportunity, because when those people came from Babylon who believed in all those false gods came to search out what had happened with Hezekiah, Hezekiah missed this beautiful opportunity to speak to those pagan people about the true God of heaven. He could have witnessed about how I was sick. That's what they came to see about, how he had been restored to health, how the sun had gone back 10 degrees, how God had blessed him from the attacks of Sennacherib. And he came there and he showed them everything that he had in his kingdom, all of his riches, his spices, his armor, his army. He showed them everything he had. But you know what he failed to do? He failed to introduce them to the true God of heaven. Amen. He failed to give a true witness of what God had done for him. He forgot to tell them about how God answers prayers. Remember in chapter 38? He had prayed to God, wept sore. He was praying to God to extend his life. And God had answered that prayer and gave him 15 extra years. And he failed to give God the credit for the answer to that prayer. And how many times have we prayed to God in need for something, and yet we failed to give God the praise and the honor and glory? Yeah. We fail to thank God for the way he answers our prayers. He could have told those. You know what you saw happening about the shadow going back on the sundial of Ahaz? That was all the power of the mighty God that we serve here in this kingdom. And he's different than the false gods that you worship there in Babylon, who can't see, they can't hear, they can't answer prayers. But our God answers. Our God hears. Our God provides for us and does miracles in our behalf. He could have gave a good witness for God. He could have showed him how God provides with all of the things that I have in my house. This is not something that I did and I ordered it because I have the power in my kingdom. This is something that God has given me as a blessing to me because of my faithfulness to him. And he could have witnessed about God's greatness. He could have told them about how God provides. But all he could think about was self. All he could think about his selfish needs and desires. And he lost an opportunity to witness to the people around him. And I wonder how many times God has put people in our path for us to give a witness about God's greatness, about his goodness to us, about his blessings to us, and how he answers our prayers. And how many times have we just sloughed over that and talked about something else? How many times have we failed to give God the honor and the praise and the glory for how good he is to each one of us? In Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you'll turn with me there in that text today, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse number 17, it says this, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." And how many people think that? Just like Hezekiah, that it was all because of him, because of us, what we do, that got us all the things that we have. But in 18 it says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swear unto thy fathers, as it is unto this day." In James, you look in the New Testament, in James chapter 1, we see here how God relates to us in taking care of the needs that we have. In James chapter 1, at verse number 17, it says this. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So everything that you and I enjoy today, listen, friends, this suit I'm wearing today, I didn't pay for this. God did, because he gave it to me. He gave me the funds to be able to buy that. Listen, you know how I got this? Because you and your faithfulness paid a faithful tithe and offering, and that tithe and offering helps to support me and my family. Isn't that a good? And it was God who made it possible for you and me to gain everything that we have in our life. And I praise God today for that. Every time I eat a slice of bread, Tom, that you give me, I praise God for that because it's good bread. I praise God for your willingness to be able to give that to me. I praise God for your faithfulness to God in giving tithes and offerings that not only helps keep this church going properly, but it is also helping pastors, not just me, but our tithes help pastors all around the world to be able to sustain themselves in the ministry that God has called them to. Our faithfulness matters. And we need to give God honor and praise and glory for everything that he gives to us, because the ministry goes far beyond just us. We're helping people in the ministry all over the world. And we need to keep that in mind, that God is using us to reach out to people with the gospel message. And he provides us with everything that we need. It's not always everything that we want, but it is everything that we need. And we praise him and thank him for that. But you know, this text that we're looking at here in Matthew chapter 6, it is not just a prayer about God providing the bread that we need to eat, the food that we have to sustain ourselves. It's true that we have to have food. We have to have something to sustain us. We can't fast 365 days a year because we wouldn't survive that, right? We need to be able to eat some food. And this is not just talking about bread or food to sustain our physical life. God also is placing the necessity of food to sustain our life, but he is also telling us that it is everything that we need, God provides it. And there are some spiritual things that you and I need. What you need more than anything else is Jesus in your life. What we need more than anything else is Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and King of our life. You see, it's one thing for us to be a Christian and to say that I belong to a certain church or denomination, There are many people, millions of people around the world that can make that profession. But how many of those people who claim to be Christians can honestly say, I'm a Christian, a son or a daughter of God? There's a big difference between belonging to a church and being in a denomination and being called a Christian and actually being a follower of Jesus Christ. There's a big difference, a world of difference. And there'll be many people who will call upon Jesus according to Matthew chapter 7 and will be calling upon God. In verse 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You see, many people will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name and in thy name cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What makes a difference in the life of any person is whether or not they have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Listen, friends, if you have not made that profession of faith in Christ, I'm inviting you today in the name of Jesus, wherever you're at, wherever you're listening, that you'll open your heart to Jesus today. You invite him to come into your life, and you not only make him the Savior of your life, but you make him King also. You see, when we want Jesus to save us, and everybody wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to go to hell. We want Jesus to save us from this destruction that's coming. There is a judgment, and someday every man, woman, and child are going to have to answer for everything in their life, every word spoken, every act committed, everything they should have done and didn't. We all have to answer before the God of heaven. There is a judgment that we have to stand before God. We have to answer for our life. But the good news is that if we have Jesus, friends, he answers for us. If we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior, his blood covers us, and God takes those sins of ours, he casts them away. He never sees them again. He never thinks about them. He never listens to those things. All he listens to is Jesus, our Savior. And so, friend, today, I'm inviting you to invite Jesus into your life and make him the King. You see, we want to be saved, but there are not a whole lot of people that want Jesus to be king. You invite Jesus to be the king of your life, that means that whatever Jesus is saying to you, you're willing to say, yes, Lord, I will do it by your grace. Whatever God wants us to change, we say, yes, Lord, by your grace, I will do. If God wants us to go somewhere, we will say, yes, King. We'll go wherever you send us. By your grace, I will follow through. You see, that's the difference of having Jesus just as a Savior and having Jesus as Savior and King. I want Jesus to not only save me, but I want him to rule over my life. And there are many people say, I don't want that man telling me what to do. Well, he's not just a man. He is also divine. He is the Son of God. He's the King of the universe. And he has the right to command us to tell us what to do. He can enforce what he says, and he can command us to be obedient to him. Obedience is not a sin. I know there are a lot of people think that you, because you're obedient, you must be a Pharisee, that you must be some kind of legalist. Obedience is not sin. It's called for from Genesis all the way through Revelation. Throughout history, God has called his people to obedience. And the good thing is that when you think about it, there'll be no disobedience in heaven, and no disobedient person is going to go back to heaven. We have to learn how to be obedient here so that we can be obedient in heaven. God says that that disobedience and rebellion and sin will never rise up a second time. When he comes back to this earth at the second coming, he is going to cleanse this earth of all sin, all rebellion, all evil. It will never rise up again. So we better learn how to start being obedient to God now so that we can learn how to be obedient up in heaven. It will never raise its ugly head again. And I say praise God for that, don't you? Never again will we have to suffer through this darkness, this evil, this sin-ridden world that we suffer through today. God will not let that happen ever again. And he's trying to make it possible for us to be ready for heaven by calling us to Jesus today. He's calling for us to be obedient to everything that God calls us to and to recognize that every blessing, every good and great gift that comes down to us from heaven comes directly from the hand of our God. Yeah. It should remind us when we look up into the stars that that is something that God has put there for our blessing, right? When we look up at the greatness of our God, when we look up into, you know, if you live in a city, The lights in the city wash out the sky. You can't even see a star. When we lived in Fishers, you'd go out at nighttime, you couldn't see a star anywhere. But now that I live out in the country and I go out at nighttime, what a picture God has painted up there in the heavens. What a powerful God we have. That it was some great explosion that happened and just at random all these things took place. The most minute atom had to come from somewhere. Even in an explosion, there had to be something that started it. And I say it is the King Jesus who did it all. It is God who made it possible. God is calling for us to give him praise and honor and glory. And God has called for us to recognize that everything that we have comes directly from his hand to us. Listen to this in Jeremiah 15, 16. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse number 16. In Jeremiah chapter 15, at verse number 16, it says this: Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it tells us here what we're supposed to do with the word of God. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. It says, And Jesus answered them, when the Son of God was being tempted by the devil, and the devil said to Jesus, Command this stone to be made into bread. Jesus said in verse 4, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Praise God for that. Listen, friends, we don't just need physical nourishment to sustain us in this life. We need the power of God living inside of us. The greatest need that the church has today is God's Holy Spirit living in them and empowering them to live for him and be a witness to the world about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We need that in our lives personally. And if there's ever going to be a change, if there's ever going to be a reformation, a revival, it has to start right here with us individually in our own life. And God is calling for us today to confess our sins, to forsake those things that have separated us from God, and to come to him and be covered with the shed blood of Jesus Christ so that we have no guilt in our life and we can live with freedom and liberty because of what Jesus is doing for us. I'm calling to you today, whoever you are, wherever you're at, wherever you're listening, that you will come to Jesus today and you will confess your sins to Jesus and ask for forgiveness and cleansing, and that you would pray that his Holy Spirit would empower you to live for him, and that he would be not only your Savior but your King as well, and that you would be empowered to be a witness. We look at Hezekiah, how he miserably failed to witness for God. All the blessings that you and I enjoy come directly from the hand of God. And everything that you need comes to you out of heaven from God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 says this, Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you even ask. Praise God for that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing this prayer today. Thank you for showing us in the scripture your love for us and the blessing that you give us every moment. We thank you, Father, for Jesus and what he means to each one of us. I pray today as we open our hearts to your Holy Spirit's leading, that we will invite Jesus into our life, and that we will feel his presence guiding and directing us. And I pray today, Father, that everyone that hears this message would not only invite you in as his Savior, but they will accept you as the King of their life. Help us by the power of your grace to live for you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.